Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V26 Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Visit Lowe's and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 7/9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a workload is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast.
I consider myself pretty positive, dude. You know, in my life and especially with the show and whatever, like I want to put positivity out there. However, a little peek behind the curtain. And for those of you that are on our Patreon or the 49ers Rush and watch all the in-season breakdowns that we do, the most angry that I have gotten over the past 3 years isn't with Jake Brendel or Nick Sorensen or whatever. No, no. It's 49ers special teams. Whenever I'm doing, you know, we've done every special teams game for the past 3 years, three and a half, almost four, I guess 4 years now. I say more curse words on those. Now, there are least watched shows and least watched, you know, whatever. Every single play, we do them all. And my first, like, coordinator coaching job was special teams. Like, I value that. I was a long snapper in high school. I was a backup punter in high school. Like, I mean, I value special teams. There's three phases in the game, and the 49ers have been god-awful. The biggest weakness, in my personal opinion, since Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch showed up as special teams, we haven't had one quality year. Not one. One, he hired Richard Hightower as buddy for, like, the first 5 years, got worse. Let him go, somewhat. Let him go find another job. Didn't even fire him. Then you go John Schneider, who was, you know, this longtime vet guy, supposed to fix everything. Awful. Didn't fake one punt the entire time. Like, just awful. And watching last year with the new kickoff rules and being there, like, awful, terrible. Well, now you got Brant Boyer. And Brant Boyer's boys are in effect. And none more important than Ceryn Neal comes in number 64 on our roster countdown. Now, he is versatility exemplified from the defensive back position, but make no mistake, Ceryn Neal is here to be a special teams ace and back up not one, not two, but three positions on the 49ers defense. That's nickel corner or slot corner, outside corner, and box safety. He can play them all. He has played them all, and he's going into his eighth season. He's finished seven seasons. Ceryn Neal is a special teams ace. He wears jersey number 33, does almost everywhere he goes. 6'206". Like, he plays slot, but, like, he's a big dude. And the 49ers covet those 6'200" defensive backs that have the versatility. He's got NFL experience at all of them. 31-inch arms. He's 30 years old. Going to be 31 August 4th. So he is a long in years, but 49ers signed him to a 2-year deal. He's not going anywhere. And he comes in 64 on our list, but he's making the 53-man roster, I guarantee you. You look at his contract, this dude got $2.2 million guaranteed this year in this offseason, where the 49ers gave out no guaranteed money to any new players or guaranteed money to undrafted free agents. Yeah, you did the three big extensions, but, like, for bringing in, the 49ers were pinching pennies on guaranteed money. Not so with Ceryn Neal. And I think that matters. So even though he's 30, going to be 31 when the season starts, this guy's going to be sticking around this year, guaranteed, next year probably. He ran a 4.56 whenever he came out, but probably a little bit slower than that now. 1.59 10-yard split, not great. A 40.5-inch vertical. That's top 93 percentile. 10'2" broad jump, good. 17 bench press reps, really good for a defensive back. His comps, there's not a lot. Darrell Stuckey, Evan Williams are probably the two closest that people might know. And he's an Alabama boy from Eufaula High School. Then he goes to Jacksonville State. And, you know, his name is Ceryn Devontae Neal. Has six brothers and one sister, which I thought is awesome. Two-time All-Ohio Valley Conference player in high school. Was just a one- or two-star recruit coming out. Played mostly linebacker in high school. Was a wide receiver in high school. Graduates with his criminal justice degree. Love to see that. Has two daughters named London and Lauren. Congrats to the Ceryn family. One of the things that was crazy to me, he has no interceptions. He's played 7 seasons in the NFL as a defensive back, former wide receiver, no picks. Weird, but that's not really his role. He's there as a backup at, again, 3 positions, nickel, outside corner, and, you know, box safety. It's special teams. That's just what he does. He has over 2,000 special team snaps in his career, played over 60% of special team snaps every single year except for his rookie year. So that is 6 consecutive seasons playing over 60% special team. This is a guy that's on 5 out of 6 of your special teams every single year, year in and year out, right? He's on kickoff. He's on kickoff return. He's on punt. He's on punt return. And he's on field goal block. The only thing he's not on is the field goal team, and that's just a bunch of big lugs and a kicker, long snapper, and holder. He's not going to be one of those. But he's going to play a lot. Now, you look at his defensive performance, mostly nickel corner. That's where he's got the majority of his snaps. But again, several, you know, over 100 snaps at outside corner, over 100 snaps at box safety. Can play a little bit of free safety, but that's usually just the film that I watched was just, you know, motion, cross motion, jet sweep, which rotates the defensive safeties, things like that. But he was brought to the 49ers to be an elite special teams player on one of the worst performing special teams units for the past decade in the NFL. Now, he was a 5th round pick back in 2018 by the Buffalo Bills. He was 154th pick. Same round, the 49ers drafted DJ Reed. Same round, Maurice Hurst, Niners didn't draft him, but eventually brought him over, and Troy Fumagalli. Niners really like that draft. Career stats, 126 tackles, 4 tackle for losses, 3 quarterback hits, 1 sack, 3 forced fumbles, and 7 pass breakups. That's pretty impressive. Was with the Miami Dolphins last year, played in all 17 games. Love to see that. Here's his snap breakdown. Almost all special teams, 372 special team snaps last year. But defensively, 37 snaps as a slot corner, 12 snaps as a box safety, 4 snaps as a wide corner, and 2 snaps as a free safety. Plays all over the place. Injuries, he's been healthy. He had a concussion in 2019, missed 1 game. Outside of that, dude just plays football. So you've got the health, the best ability, availability. This guy has that. Niners signed him March 18th, 2025, to a 2-year, $4 million deal. There was competition for Ciaran Neal's qualities that he brings in special teams. Got a $1 million signing bonus and $2.25 million guaranteed at signing. $1.65 million cap hit. So does that guarantee you a roster spot? Not necessarily. But in the context of the current state of the financial 49ers, they gave out no guaranteed money. And you know, as we're going through this roster countdown, we're about 25, you know, guys down. No guarantee, no guarantee, no guarantee, no guarantee. This dude, $2.25 million guaranteed. That's what DFF was getting. And yeah, I know DFF was a linebacker, but Ciaran Neal's making this roster, period. That's all there is to it. He's just going to be there. Brant Boyer picked this dude. He's only started 1 game in his career, Ciaran Neal, but 114 games appeared in special teams. Last year, as I said, played 17 games, and he just shows up. So, Brant Boyer's boys, Ciaran Neal is right at the front of that. You know, you brought in all these special team specialists. Ciaran Neal, John Weeks, Luke Gifford, Jason Pinnock, Richie Grant. Almost all of them except for John Weeks, who's just a long snapper. Special teams core players that provide depth, veteran depth, at Ciaran Neal, defensive back. Luke Gifford, linebacker. Jason Pinnock, safety. Richie Grant, defensive back. He built out his team the right way. I do believe that he makes the 53-man roster because of the guaranteed money. And if something hits the fan, you can move this dude everywhere. He's played in every defensive scheme, and he can cover all the positions. Not that that's what you want, but it's quality play, and you're hoping you can disguise him and kind of help him cover and whatever else. Nobody's goal is to have Ciaran Neal out there on the defensive side of the ball. But it's not. It's the George Odom signing. And I really thought when the Niners brought in Ciaran Neal, you know, Richie Grant and Jason Pinnock, George Odom would be gone, but he's still here. So there's a lot of these special teams guys that are going to stick around. Ciaran Neal's making this roster, and gosh, the 49ers defense or special teams cannot be as bad as it was last year. Improvement has to take place. Has to. And Ciaran Neal is going to be a part of that. So, 49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get autographed. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Thank you to Josh, Ben, Zach, and the rest of the 49ers Rush team. We're just going to keep counting them down. Some players on this roster countdown are higher or lower, not because necessarily anything that they have done, but because this the way the roster and the depth chart is kind of shaken out after free agency draft, undrafted free agents, all those things. Tight end Braden Willis, slash fullback, slash special teams, whatever, versatile, that's why the Niners draft him, comes in 63. He lost 23 spots. Last year was at 40. His rookie year was at 42, so 42 to 40 to 63. Really was hoping he would kind of seize that role as the tight end three last year and just couldn't do it. And if you would have asked me before the draft where Braden Willis would be, I would have said 80s at best. Like, he would have been in the 80s. But the 49ers, you know, went and signed Luke Farrell, big-time tight end two contract, and didn't bring any competition in for tight end three. Ross Dwelly, I understand that, but like, who's tight end three? In an offense that uses the tight end three much more so than almost any other team in the NFL, there is a spot to be had, and the competition there is light. Jake Tonchis, Ross Dwelly, Mason Plein, Braden Willis. I don't know who's going to win that job, but when you look at versatility and character and, you know, pedigree and height, weight, speed, athleticism, Braden Willis has those things. So he comes in at 63, which is a lot higher than I thought he would have been, but the Niners just did not address that spot, so somebody's got to fill it. And there's enough confidence in what Braden Willis brings that whether it's special teams, tight end, fullback, he could do it. Is he great? A lot of people were out on him because they tried him at fullback full-time last year in the preseason, and it just proved, like, dude, this guy cannot power base block, period. He could do all the other things. He can pass block, he can run the routes, and he can run block, but he can't do the Kyle Juszczyk power base block against, you know, the H-back wham block against defensive tackles, defensive ends, linebacker. Like, he's not getting movement on his blocks. Like, he can block. It's just, he kind of got shown, like, okay, he's 6'4", 240. He's a small, undersized H-back tight end guy. And it showed, look, he has a limit on the power blocking scheme that you want to do. So you can't run all plays with him at fullback. And at tight end, he's decent. He's decent. Special teams, he's decent. You just don't really get a lot of, like, the hot sauce specialty, whatever, that you thought was going to come when you drafted him. Now, he's a seventh-round pick, and he wasn't even the first tight end that the 49ers drafted that year. You remember they took Cameron Latu in the third round, and, you know, I thought that was almost as absurd as the Jake Moody pick. But I kept saying, Braden Willis is going to make this roster over Cam Latu. I said that nonstop. Draft night, I said it. I had Braden Willis ranked higher than Cameron Latu on my big board that year, and that proved to be true. It's just, man, just because Cam Latu was bad doesn't mean Braden Willis is good. It's, he just hasn't taken that next step to explosiveness. Now, he wears jersey number 9, which I like. Tight end, he's 6'4", 240, 33 and a quarter inch arms, 25 years old, still young. Had a 7.33 cone, not great change of direction, 33 and a half inch vertical, 9'10 broad, 20 bench press reps, good, good, good. Did not run his 40, so we don't have that. Now, and here's where it gets weird, okay? And this is an athletic comparison on mockdraftable.com, which measures all those things that I just listed, he has a 96.2 overlap match rate with Brock Bowers. He is not Brock Bowers, but he's built like him. He moves, changes direction like him, strong like him, arm length like him, just doesn't play like him. But he, and here's what's funny. The other two players that he's the highest match with, Cole Hikutini, 94.5%, Cam Latu, 91%. The 49ers have a type with that H move back, versatile whatever piece. This small 6'4", 240, hyper-athletic, you know, you want, everybody wants a George Kittle. Well, George Kittle's one of one. But the athleticism, the pedigree, the work ethic, the team captain, former quarterback, like, there's a lot of check marks in the evaluation process when you're going through Braden Willis, going into his third season. Usually, that is where tight ends start to kind of blossom a little bit. So you're hoping he takes that next step. He's still young. And tight end, this another thing that I think is very important, quarterback and tight end, you could throw, I'm going to leave it at those two. Quarterback and tight end are two of the most difficult positions to transfer from college to the NFL. It is just difficult. Does that play into it? Has 2 years been enough? Now, he's a Texas boy. He went to Martin High School in Arlington. We played them many a times at Duncanville. Then goes to Oklahoma. Was a Sooner there, team captain. And, man, he was around for a long time, part of three Big 12 championship teams, two college playoff teams. I mean, this dude was played in the Alamo, the Cheez-It Bowl, you name it. 5 seasons there, and the team went 50-15. And it was kind of OU's height of their whatever, you know, like – he played with a lot of quality teams and well-coached. I hate Oklahoma with a passion, but I really liked Braden Willis. He's one of three 2022 recipients of the Don Key Award. That goes to excellence on and off the field. This dude, clean. Great player, great dude. You listen. He started a podcast while he was in college called The Podcast on the Prairie with a couple teammates on his show, and it's awesome. Like, this guy has a career in whatever it is he wants to do. Like, you could tell he's good at what he does, but he's got to take that next step on the football field. That's what it's going to have to do. And his nickname in OU was Weight Room Willie because of how hard he worked. And again, team captain, that was a fullback tight end. That doesn't happen a lot. You just got to get something extra. Something's got to splash in a positive. Here's John Lynch's comments when they drafted Braden Willis. Quote, "We had him ranked really high. So when he was still around, it made a lot of sense. He's got a lot of versatility to his game. He's a guy who embodies what we like in terms of after the ball in his hands. He could do some special things, play some tight end, play some fullback. A nice tool to move around. Made a lot of big plays for Oklahoma, former quarterback, real smart, cerebral kid. You could put a lot on him. So when he was still there, it made a lot of sense for us." End quote. That's John Lynch after they drafted Braden Willis. And remember, they drafted Cameron Latu first in the third round. They drafted Braden Willis in the seventh round. Whenever he got drafted, he said, quote, this is Braden Willis's words, 31 teams are going to pay, end quote. Nah, that has not come true yet. Got an economics degree. I really like this guy. You just got to see something on the field. He got cut last year and put back on the practice squad, elevated a handful of times as a primarily special teams guy. It's just nothing's great. And you go back to our pre-draft write-up, you know, I had a six-round grade on him, so it's not like I was super high on him, but 49ers drafted him seventh round. We had a six-round grade on him. I had a seventh-round grade on Cameron Latu. He had an 80.3 run blocking grade, and this was our pre-draft before the Niners drafted him. Lead blocking and blocking in space are good. Loves to block. Pancakes guys on the regular. That has not translated. Functional athleticism as a pass catcher, versatility, special teams value. That is true. We'll have to acclimate to a vastly different role in the NFL passing game. Will be hard. That was check, 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 check. We nailed that one. Role specific prospect, which he hasn't carved out just yet. Some teams will see him as a fullback. That's not it. That's kind of what he is. And so it's problematic at best for what he offers. And again, 2023 is rookie year. He had two targets, no catches, one tackle. Last year, three tackles, no targets. Was kind of just a special teams guy. Played 184 snaps last year in 10 games. 159 of those were on special teams. He got some mop-up duty whenever the Niners were getting blown out a couple times. But outside of that, just special teams. He's on a one-year, $1.03 million deal, no guarantees. And he's made $1.59 million in his career so far. 17 games played. And special teams seems to be the way. Can he catch on with Brant Boyer? I don't know. Last year was rough. He had two penalties. One of them was a major Deebo Samuel kickoff return that was brought back. It was like a 60-yard penalty. And it was a terrible... It was a correct holding call, but it was a terrible play by Braden Willis. Like, he just blocked too long and didn't let go whenever the defender was pulling off and Deebo was passed. It was stupid. But I don't know. But the chances are still there for Braden. Somebody's got to be tight end three. Braden Willis? Why not? Mason Plyne is who I want to win the competition because he has more upside than anybody else. Jake Tonjes, local kid they trust. Way less upside, way less athleticism than Braden Willis, but I think Jake Tonjes is better at special teams, and I think Jake Tonjes is better at fullback, but I prefer Braden Willis at tight end. Ross Dwelly, duct tape, kind of does a little bit of everything. He's long in the tooth, but he's been there. Somebody's got to win it. I don't know who it's going to be. My guess is Braden Willis will not make the 53-man roster. I don't think anybody's going to claim him. That ship has sailed whenever you cut him and brought him back last year, so it's kind of easy to rinse, repeat. But nobody's claiming Ross Dwelly. Nobody's claiming Jake Tonjes. Nobody's claiming Braden Willis. Mason Plyne, maybe, but I doubt it. He's the only guy that's like, he has some elite traits, elite skill sets. But I would not be mad if Braden Willis wins the job. I think... gets released, you know, waived at the 53 cut down, and then brought back on the practice squad, and you could elevate him as your tight end three without, you know, using one of your 53-man roster spots. That's my prediction. Can he catch on with special teams with Brant Boyer? Can he win the tight end three job? That's what we got. But Braden Willis, he's around 2 years longer than Cam Latu. You have to give him some credit. He's a seventh-round draft pick, but we got to see something. And he comes in 63 on this roster countdown, which is a shock. But not whenever you look at the fact that they didn't add a tight end three competition at all during free agency or the draft. So this is what you got. Thank you, Josh, Ben, and Zach, executive producers of this whole series. And for us in the 49ers Rush team, keep counting them down. Hey, Niner faithful. If you're looking for tickets to see the 49ers play this season, TickPick is the destination for the best deals you'll find on tickets with absolutely no hidden fees. TickPick guarantees the best price on tickets to every NFL game and beyond. Download the TickPick app and use code Niners, N-I-N-E-R-S, at checkout to save $10 on your first order. Again, that's code Niners. Get your tickets ready today to cheer on the team with the rest of the 49ers Rush community, and all of our events for the 49ers Rush road trip are sold exclusively on the TickPick app or TickPick.com. Just search 49ers Rush. It's rare that during this roster countdown series, we have a consensus. There's four of us rankers, and you know, I always give them credit. Zach, Ben, Josh, and myself. So we do 4, 1 through 91, whatever, right? Yeah, we rank impact on the 2025 season. Well, Russell Gage comes in number 62. Listen to these ranks. 61, 66, 61, 64. All within a very small... Most of these guys, you know, there's a big span, especially on the back end of the roster. When you get to the top 10, that's pretty... the bottom 10 of the top 10, pretty concurrent. But in the 50s, 60s, you don't get that often. And with Russell Gage, veteran wide receiver depth, was brought on to the 49ers 2 weeks after the Brandon Ayuk injury last year. And so you bring him over, never gets activated. And so that was a little bit like weird. It's like, okay, you brought in this veteran wide receiver that, you know, is entering his eighth season in the NFL. He's currently 29 years old, but he never got activated. Well, he was somebody that was a quality number three wide receiver through the first part of his career until he tore his patella tendon. Well, now he's 2.5 years removed from that. A lot of players don't come back from that at any point, and he hasn't really been activated in the game since that injury, which, again, that happened in 2022. So now we're in 2025. So it happened midway through the 2022 season. And so now you're sitting there looking at like, okay, well, the 49ers saw him and activated him, you know, off of the injured reserve and whatever else. Like, he's been out there practicing. Can he get back to, man, can you be a special teams player and a back-end wide receiver on this roster that we could trust? That's the goal for Russell Gage. Now, the wide receiver position for the 49ers, it's a little dicey, especially at the start of the season. Brandon Ayuk, not going to be ready for the first part of the season. DeMarcus Robinson, who one of my favorite free agent signings, if not my number one overall free agent signing this offseason, he's got that suspension coming. Is he going to be suspended first part of the year? There's rumors it's going to be middle of the year. There's rumors might not be at all this year. Who knows? But, man, you really hope you have some veteran presence in that wide receiver room. Obviously, Juwan Jennings. But then you got Ricky Pearce, always not practicing right now. Jacob Cowing, Jordan Watkins, Young Bucks, haven't got a lot of playing time. You have guys like Isaiah Hodgins and Russell Gage who it's like, hey, these are guys you could trust. So Russell Gage wears jersey number 84, 6 foot 182, and, you know, 29 years old. Ran a 4.4240 at his pro day, 1.54 10-yard split, good, 7.03 three-cone, good, change of direction, speed, good, 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 vertical, 39-inch vertical. That's 85 percentile of wide receivers. Like, this is an explosive dude. 15 bench press reps, nice. His comps on mockdraftable.com, Cedric Wilson, Antonio Bryant. Like, these are the types of guys which are career number three wide receivers. And the fact that he is, you know, 6 foot 180, he can play outside, inside. Probably my favorite thing, diving through just his snap counts and where he's been effective, he plays all three wide receiver spots. You know, about 40% of his snaps are in the slot, but he can play outside. He can play the X, he can play the Z, he can play the slot. He can play special teams. He's got 400-plus special team snaps in his career, and probably going to have to go back to that if he wants to be activated at any point. Look at that Chris Conley role. You know, he's retired now. He's been doing a lot of the dirty work in special teams. Well, can Russell Gage step into that role? Special teams has to be a part of it. If Russell Gage is going to get activated at any point in the 2025 season, best believe this dude's playing on special teams. If he cannot, then you go with Isaiah Hodgins. Then you go with Isaiah Nair. Then you go with Malik Knowles. You go with some of these young bucks who will have to perform. So when you're back into the roster player, special teams is the tiebreaker. Russell Gage has more experience than anybody he's competing with at that wide receiver room and special teams. Again, 400-plus snaps that he's done that. Entering into his eighth season, like we said, local kid from, well, not here, but Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and then he stayed local. He went from Redemptorist High School to LSU, and he was everything at LSU. Permanent team captain at LSU, played defensive back and wide receiver. Yeah, he was their special teams player of the year. Again, like, he has a history of contributing wherever you need him. Got drafted the year after Kyle Shanahan left the Falcons by the Falcons. And, you know, he was drafted in the sixth round of the 2018 draft, 194th pick. He went right after Marcel Harris and Ray-Ray McCloud. The 49ers and Falcons, like, Marcel Harris didn't play for the Falcons, but a lot of overlap there. His best seasons in the NFL came in 2020 and 2021, having 700 receiving yards in each season. And then he got signed to a big deal, 3-year, $30 million deal by the Bucks right after they won their Super Bowl. And Tom Brady called him to recruit him. A really cool story. He was out taking his trash. He gets a phone call from a random number, answers, it's Tom Brady. Say, man, we want you to come here. We want you to be a part of this, all this stuff. Like, pretty cool. I think that's awesome. Goes there, had a solid season, and then sure enough, tore his patella tendon, and then after that, he hasn't been the same. Can that change? Well, how many 29, 30-year-old wide receivers can rebound after that? The one thing I could say is he's got zero guarantees on his contract, so it's a low risk, you know, kind of low reward, maybe high reward type player, but he's had the time, and he's been around NFL teams. That's important. So since he's had his injury, he's been on Baltimore's practice squad and the 49ers last year. Now he's brought back this year to the 49ers. So somebody that you could trust if he got some of that athleticism and movement back. He's had time to work through it. We'll just have to see what that looks like. Now you look at his career. Solid career for a guy drafted in the sixth round. 395 career receptions, just under 3,000 total receiving yards, 19 touchdowns, career touchdowns. That's legit. The one area that's kind of like, 7.3 yards per catch. Not a huge yak guy. He's not breaking a lot of tackles, whatever else. He's a possession, move the chains, versatile wide receiver that can play all three spots and can help you on special teams. That's what he is. He's a role player wide receiver, which the 49ers desperately need. Chris Conley is gone. You need that veteran trust. He's going to be where we need him to be. And he's going to run the right routes. He's going to read the right options. He's going to know what to do all the time. The Niners desperately need that. Desperately need that. So you look at his deal, 1 year, $1.1 million deal, no guarantee. So if it doesn't work out, you move on. And shout out to him. He's made $21.4 million in his career. It is good to be a wide receiver in today's NFL. 34 career starts. He's played in 74 career games. And again, who is going to be the next wide receiver up? Because if Ayuk's on PUP, which will happen, DeMarcus Robinson suspended, let's just go through the numbers. You got Juwan Jennings and Ricky Pearsall. Those are your two locks. Next up, Jacob Cowing and Jordan Watkins, I think both make the roster. Well, that's four wide receivers. You're not going into week one against Seattle with four wide receivers. Somebody is going to either make the 53 or somebody's going to be cut, signed to the practice squad and elevated, kind of like that Willie Snead, kind of like Chris Conley, kind of like Trent Taylor. You've seen the 49ers do this wide receiver position so many times where they have that gentleman's agreement. Look, we're going to waive you, but we want to come back and we're going to elevate you week one, guaranteed, or weeks one and two. Shanahan's notorious for that. Well, who's that going to be? Isaiah Hodgins, Russell Gage, Junior Bergen, Isaiah Nair, and then your long shots, Malik Knowles, Tariq Owens. Like, somebody's got to win that. Do you go with the young upside with Isaiah Nair? Do you go? I have a hard time seeing Kyle Shanahan trust a guy like Junior Bergen or Isaiah Nair week one against Seattle in Seattle at the wide receiver position. Not saying they don't make the roster for other reasons, but I can't see them getting into the heavy wide receiver rotation early. That's why I will constantly go back to this. Isaiah Hodgins or Russell Gage will be promoted and on the active roster week one. Who's it going to be? If Gage has bounced back from his injury and can prove to be trusted and provide on special teams, man, it's him or Isaiah Hodgins. Maybe not the sexiest kind of roster battle between the old aging vets, but I'm here for it because you're going to have to rely on those guys in the third quarter on third downs. You go three wide receiver sets. Who are you putting out there? You want Jacob Cowan or Jordan Watkins to step up, but that's a big if, and Shanahan does not trust young wide receivers much. We'll see what happens. Man, Russell Gage, hope you're back to yourself after the injury, and I hope you can improve this 49ers wide receiver core and special teams group in 2025. For us and the 49ers rush team, we'll just keep counting them down.
Tired of all the bugs in your yard? Enjoy your backyard again with Cutter Backyard Ready to Spray Bug Control at Menards. It kills mosquitoes, fleas, ticks, and other insects fast, controlling them for up to 12 weeks. A 32-ounce Ready to Spray container covers up to 5,000 square feet and is on sale now through July 13th. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big.